And we are back, listeners, and it is with great pleasure that I introduce to the podcast, I have Kung Fu Fight Her with us. Say hello to the kids.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, so the first question, as always, is how'd you get your drag name, and how long you've been doing drag, and why did you start doing drag?
Yeah, so my drag name is Kung Fu Fight Her. So my last name in Chinese is Kung, spelled K-H-N-G, so it's only four letters, no vowels, trips everybody up. I get King, Kang, Kung, everything under the sun. Anyway, so it's obviously a play off of Kung Fu Panda, Kung Fu Fighting, Kung Fu Fighter. It's just kind of a fun play off of my last name and then in the movie and... like, obviously, the, is that martial arts?
Yes.
Does it fall under that? Okay, yeah. But yeah, so I started drag about 6.5 weeks ago. And I'm already planning my retirement for the end of this year.
So, real drag queen.
But why did I get into it? There was a different part of me that I couldn't express through being like a cis man. And I was like, maybe I'm not a cis man. And here we are.
That's tea.
Yeah. Just like expressing a different side of me that I've had inside of me for so long. And, yeah.
Have you discovered what gender identity you feel most comfortable with yet? Since you decided to lay it out there like that.
I'm currently just hanging around they, them. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, I can. I said, what gender identity do you feel most comfortable with since you kind of dropped that bomb?
Yeah. For most of my life, I identified as a cis gay male. And then a few weeks ago, kind of like fell in love with the trans woman. That confused me a lot. And now I'm just like kind of feeling like I'm fully bi, which is interesting. Love new discoveries and realizations, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's amazing. That's really cool. And congratulations, I suppose, for understanding more things about yourself and your sexual orientation, and that's beautiful. And hopefully, you know, as you explore drag and your gender identity becomes more fluid for you, or it doesn't, and that's also great too. So let's get to know you a little bit more. So how long have you lived in the Portland area?
So I am just about 10 years in. I think it's my decade in Portland right about now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I moved here I dropped out of college. And got super depressed in 2013. And I moved in with my two uncles that live here in Portland. It's been a ride, for sure.
What are your opinions on the nightlife scene here?
Oh, lots. it's really what you make of it. I mean, it's like you kind of get to decide what the vibe is as you go in, and like the people that you choose to go with and the places that you go, you bring the energy that's inside of you. So if you're going in with a warm and inviting spirit and just like wanting to connect with people, then that's what you'll get. And if you're looking to create violence, I mean, that will ensue as well, I'm sure.
Yep.
Whatever you manifest, yeah.
It's exactly what happens. It really does. So the thing is, I met you in nightlife. I think I met you at Stag. Is that right? Yeah, I did.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my goodness, gosh, we could talk about that for hours if we wanted to. Ooh, but that's a whole other podcast, so it'd take a lot of time. So what was your first exposure to drag?
My first exposure to drag, that would be, I would say probably around when I moved here to Portland. I think it might have been Stag, honestly. because I was 20 when I moved here, and so I hadn't really been to bars or anything like that. And then I turned 21, and that's when I left my job, my first job working in hospitality.
Okay.
I think Stag was it.
I like how you're like, yeah, I saw drag for about 9 years and I just didn't like it. Is what I'm kind of hearing.
Well, it's like it's interesting because like my family used to be like of the opinion of like, oh, drag queens are just so over the top and they're just so loud and like they are.
Yes,
And
that
that's
is
the beauty
true.
of it. It's just like so like I mean just like family members like I mean and, like I kind of had the opinion of that for a while and like RuPaul's Drag Race is just like so much and like I just don't have the energy for that and like now I do and I'm like yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I am 29 and 6 months in a couple days.
Wow. You were about to
Yeah.
turn the gay death age.
Gay death age. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
the big
looking
3-0.
forward to planning my funeral in the next few months.
Oh my God, yay, me too. the other thing too is, are you currently in a relationship with anybody? Or are you in a situationship with someone?
Oh, this question. Yes, I pending confirmation of the alignment of the stars and everything that is,
It's a heavenly
witchcraft and
thing.
everything else.
And witchcraft and everything in
And witch
between, and an
and the Ouija
immense
board. I
amount of
mean,
luck.
when I visit the cemetery tonight, I'll ask Grandma Fern what she thinks. So there are a few situationships. I'm just going to be very honest. First and foremost, I'm in a relationship with myself. Because I'm the only one that I can guarantee is going to be there for me every time. But yes, there are several white cis people, which is interesting. But yeah. They're not all
Congratulations.
cis. One of them's not cis. But thank you.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. No, it's a great question to ask anybody. Because you're in your eligible year before your death at 30,
Get it all
and
done.
you gotta get it all done. What was your longest relationship in years? Like, how long is your longest relationship, or in months? I don't know.
8 years.
8 years.
8 years, yeah.
Oh wow, you can do commitment. That's crazy.
Yeah, pretty much as soon as I moved here, I fell in love with my ex-husband Nate. And like we moved in like 2 months in, we got a dog maybe a year in,
Wow, you
and then we
gayed really hard.
really, really fucking hard. It was almost like a lesbian situation. I was like, I'm gonna hook my U-Haul to your U-Haul. And then,
We're
anyway.
gonna fall in love. No, and that's crazy. Well, I'm sorry that ended for whatever reason it ended.
I think I'm
You're
not, but
I was the funny thing is I actually say this a lot, which people don't think because the way I talk about love on the internet is I think that breakups should be celebrated.
absolutely.
I actually, especially divorces, I think divorces should be celebrated all day long because there's always usually a lot that happens before we get to the breakup. Like before people know, there's always like a thousand things that happen that are not public. Even if it wasn't even abusive, there's like a lot of things that happen before it's public. And so like when you finally get to the thing where you're telling people, like you've been through a lot more emotions at this point. And so it'd be nice for people to be like, congratulations, like here's a gift bag. Like that's so great. Here's your Best Buy gift card. Here's your membership to Planet Fitness that we all take, like we all get right after. Here's your 6 month free membership to Planet Fitness. Like, it'd just be so great. We should all just celebrate breakups. Like, I think it's a really positive distraction to go in. Right now, you work at Silverado, right? No, maybe. Yes. Because I was like, didn't I just see you there yesterday? Actually, no, I saw you
The
upstairs,
big
though.
team. Oh, yes. Yeah. I
I
was
was.
like partially new, I think.
Yeah, well, I was. Well, honestly, in our scene, like, I'll be talking to my friends and they're like, okay, I gotta get back to work. I was like, oh, I didn't know you were at work. I just thought this is how you dressed in public. I do this with so many people. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know you worked here. They're like, girl, you think I just go out like this? I was like, honey, have you been in this city? Like,
you know, like, low key, yes.
Like, listen, I've seen a lot of you fuckers in Taboo. Don't play with me. do not. just at Kung Fu Fighter. Yeah, no, it's all good. It's all gravy. How long have you been at Silverado and how do you like it?
Silverado, I started going as a customer in, I think, about May. And then I started dancing maybe June or July. And it has been good overall. As any workplace is, there are certain characters, people, humans. I won't name any names that start with P and end with eater.
But no, what is it like? So Silverado is, for all intents and purposes, it's a strip club. And so you're one of the dancers there. And I don't think I've actually had one of the dancers ever on my podcast before. So let's dig into that just a little bit for our listeners here. Absolutely. What is it like being a dancer at a strip club?
It's a lot. Especially I think a lot when dancers are when you are an amateur dancer, you're probably going through some kind of shit in your life to end up at a strip club. Which I was going through a divorce, so that's what when I started at Stag. But this last year, like the winter months about a year ago, I checked myself into like a mental health facility. Like things got really dark. I was thinking about suicide on like Christmas and like New Year's Eve was our anniversary. And then I just like after that, it's like my body was just so tired from all of that that it's just like basically just hibernated and cocooned for a few months. But started coming out of that in May. That's when I got a part-time job, like pretty low-key job, and then I started dancing. But yeah, it's honestly it's interesting. It's like there's some nights that are really great, and you come in and people tip you well and they're not rude or aggressive or touching you inappropriately or breaking the rules or all of that stuff. And then there's nights where it's just like I'll be sitting in the back or I'll be sitting at the fucking bar and I'll just be like bawling my eyes out. Just like for like whatever reason, like in that moment, I just like things are frustrating or like somebody said something just like condescending or like I made like $0 on a set or like I made $1 on a set or like, you know, there's like so many different outcomes or like, so it's like, I mean, some nights it's like it's euphoria and like I'm dancing really well and like I feel good about myself and I feel good about the people that I'm with and the people that are there at the club, like the patrons that have become my friends and like my family, like Shaniqua, who was my drag mom, is still kind of she's part of I'm part of a family. She'll always be a part of my family, but it's just like things like change and like relationships are just so complex and it's a roller coaster, honestly, like because you can just go in one day and it will be great, and then the next day you're just like you're having a meltdown and it's like the worst time of your life, and like part of that is in due to like my own like bipolar and like me learning how to deal with that without like going through such intense highs and lows. But yeah, I mean, it really depends on the customer, and also like the mindset that you go into when I go into work is like, that's, oh my dear God, Like that just like that changes everything.
No, I get that. So, let's talk about, just because I think that the fans would be, my listeners would be interested. What is, give me one of your best stories as a dancer with a patron, and like one of your worst if you don't, if you feel comfortable sharing.
Oh yeah, best and worst stories. So many to choose from. Yeah, started with the best. I mean, like, there's just like a few people who have just like, they've just like become my friends, as like they've like started out as patrons, and like they just like were like good patrons, and like, so it's like, okay, like I want to be like your friend, like it's like, it's not about, it's like, it becomes about more than just like of course, like they're tipping me and paying me well, but like I don't know, it's just like they're like the kind of patron that I was when I was a patron at
Oh,
Silverado.
cool.
It's like you go there and like you pay them, and then you like hang out with them, and then you leave. And you don't expect to like go home and sleep with them, like all of this stuff. So I mean, like, there's just like, I mean, yeah, there's like a few, a handful of people who have like become that for me. Like, it's just like we just like, I don't know. It's like we go to like dinners or lunches together, or we just like get to hang out of Silverado, and it's not like there's no pressure to it, and it's just like it's super comfortable and laid back, and it's just like we're friends, we are friends. And so like that's a really special like experience, is just to be able to yeah, just have that with people. As far as like the worst or like more negative side of things, plenty of that as well. I can't remember what I was thinking of when, I mean, like 2 minutes ago when you asked the question. 'Cause something popped in and then it popped out. The boys are texting me. No. negative experiences. This was like with a customer, right? Oh, yes. Okay. this was like a few weeks ago, and my concept of time is not anything like great right now, but so it could have been like 4 days ago, but this customer like comes in, and like he's just like, there's like nobody else in the club, like there's like, it's like him and like maybe like one other person like in the corner, and like he's just like watching all of the dancers, not tipping anything like this. And like I like on nights like this when it's so slow, like I get really annoyed, because like if you're gonna be there, like be there to tip and like all of that stuff, if you're not gonna do that, like go home. Like I'd rather it be a completely empty room where I can just like try new stuff, or like work out, or just like lay down. Like sometimes I'll just like lay down and like take a whole ass nap, like a 2 minute nap, like well, no, nothing's happening. It's like if nothing's happening, then like then I'm gonna rest, because like my body's tired. Like this customer, like he's just staring at us, and like I just remember, like I like sat like crisscross applesauce like on like the stage, and I like stared back at him for like a good like 90 seconds, and like the direct eye contact that we made for that entire time was the most uncomfortable thing. That like I was just like, how is this happening? Like how are you not like aware enough to like realize that I am staring so deeply into your soul, and that I am just like cursing you in every kind of way, and like and like how, like where's the disconnect?
Well, you know what's interesting is that they used to say, it's funny, in gay clubs, like back when I was in my early 20s, I felt like if you stared at somebody for like longer than 3 seconds, it meant that you wanted to like get down. And like And I feel like that was partially true, but also people need to remember that humans have this ability that they sense when somebody's staring at them. So they look to see who's staring at them and they'll stare back a little bit just to figure out who the heck it is.
Exactly.
So I don't know. It just, I can kind of see that vibe. Yeah. So switching gears just a little bit, and because I wanted to bring up this question, but I'm going to do it in a really specific way. You had some recent semi-locally viral incidents that happened with you. I know that you did post some things online about it as well. But if you were going to say anything about how you feel about the situation that happened at Elevate now for all of our listeners, what would you say?
I it's just one of those things that, like, I just really just wish had never happened. There's not a day since that happened that I haven't thought about it or haven't cried about it or just, like, haven't, like, curled up in the ball, like, on my bedroom floor, just, like... It's, like, it's just, it didn't have to happen, and, like, I know that I made choices that led me there, and... It's just, like, I just wish it didn't happen, because it didn't have to, and it's, like, Portland doesn't have to be like that, and it's just, like, the way that drugs have been so normalized, and just, like, it's just, like, become such a, like, standard part of the entertainment community as, like, drag queens and dancers, like last night alone, another dancer was like asking me if I had like cocaine, and I was like, nope, I don't. Like, I haven't had it in like 4 weeks. Like, I like understand like being in that spot where you like where it's like it's the only thing that like gets you through, and like I understand that. Like, I was like doing ketamine, I was doing coke and ketamine at my day job. Like, in order to, like, get fucking through, like, it was rough. Like, I mean, like, it's just, like, and it's, like, things that, like, in high school, I was, like, I promised myself, I was, like, or even before high school, like, I remember in elementary school, like, I was, like, I would never smoke cigarettes, like, and I still haven't smoked cigarettes. But, like, I was, like, I never do, like, nicotine, which I do now. like, it's, like, which I'm, like, nicotine, like, at the, like, be mad at me. But, like, be mad at me for doing, like, fucking the coke that I did. Because, like, that was some choices.
Do you think that, because so I have some above board questions about this. Do you, have you spoken to any of the drag artists that you had disagreements with? I haven't spoken to any of them, but, you know, this is a podcast for anybody who wants to listen. Have you spoken to any of the drag artists that you had disagreements with over the incidents that happened?
Yeah, I've had, it's been really tough to communicate with, with anybody that was really involved. Tried, immediately after what I like, so I was like blackout, like from 1:30-ish PM until about 6 PM, which is when I was being arrested. And like, as soon as I like started realizing what was happening or what had happened, like I texted Jay and I was like, hey, like, something wasn't right, and like that's what I posted like word for word online, is like, and I copy and pasted it to like several people that I had met that day, or like the people that I had been friends with and known before going into it, and I was like, hey, like, if you saw anything weird, like, just like, please let me know. Like, I was like blackout, and like I don't remember anything. And I didn't get a response, and I was like, okay. And then the next day, Jay unfollowed me on Instagram and a couple of other people unfollowed me, and I was like, okay, that's weird. So I must have done something. And so I could get piece by piece and pieces of information, like from people in random places and videos that I took that day and photos and people that I hung out with and their stories, and like piece by piece, like just getting like little tiny bits of information, like, and I've texted, like, I mean, like Anonymous got involved, and like, 'cause she now hosts the Elevate Drag brunch, and so like she got like fucking pissed at me because like she was like, you like fucked with my income, and you fucked with like my relationship with like my with a person that like we mutually are like friends with, and like all of this stuff where I was like, and I read the text and I was like, and like so did the person that we're mutually friends with, and we were both like, well, you did these things, like you financially fucked him over, you are choosing to support like this person, and so like that's fine and you stand by them, but like that is like your choice. And like before this brunch happened, like I was hanging out with Anana, like we had went to a house party, and like that morning I drove Anana home around 6 a.m. and at that point like I was sober enough to drive her home. I was it was 6 a.m. so like the last drink I had was at like 2 or 3,
Sure.
so like I was like, I can drive you home like with full confidence that like so I drove her home, dropped her off downtown, and then I drove to my house by where I was watching two of my friends' dogs, two of their dogs, and then my dog. And my mom was kind of having a moment, and so I was like, I'll pick up the dogs, like they were barking and like making noise. So it's like I'll pick them up and like I'll go, like whatever, I'll go to the woods or I'll go camping or something. So pick them up, and then I decide like I want to go to this brunch, and like that's kind of like, and so like I mean, made choices to get there, did a bump of ketamine on the way there, and then yeah, the whole event at Elevate happened.
Do you think that? So I have a couple of thoughts actually. What's really interesting about the dynamic about what happened with Elevate, because I wasn't there, and so I'm just kind of, you know, I pieced together some story from things that have been said. And so what I understand is that I know that a lot of people in our community participate in recreational drug use. I do get that. I also understand that we are also protective of our spaces, where we get to actually have queerness happening in them, even if the space is straight. And so I also recognize that people protect those spaces, like, and the relationships that they have, on top of the fact of this underlying theme of capitalism and needing to be able to put food on our table and a roof over our head, meaning we have to work for the machine, you know. So I do, I guess to a degree, I understand where Anana in that sense is coming from. They're like, you know, don't mess with my coin. You know, I'm trying to like participate in doing this journey and whatever. And then also the last piece, what I guess would be community safety and community safety and consent, making sure that we hold ourselves accountable to being kind and respectful and consensual with the other people that are in the spaces with us. And so it does suck that the one thing that I will never do is that, especially if you blacked out, like, yes, we have to be held accountable to our actions that made us black out, but things that happened after that point, especially if anything happened to you, like obviously it's not your fault, right? And we also have to own that and keep our community safe, because there's been plenty of times when I've had friends that are black out who have made who not made decisions, but who were in situations that were very unsafe, that I had to pull them away from so I could make sure that they got home safely, you know, and stuff like that. And so I get that too, and how scary that journey can be. And it sounds like you came back to, I didn't know that piece of the story, that I didn't know that you know, you'd gotten arrested that day, which that also sucks. And I'm sorry that that happened, but obviously you're out, so hopefully you're on your So how has your sobriety journey been going? Have you been able to keep with it?
I have. It has been tough. I think like a week ago or 8 days ago, 7 days ago, I was like I was having like an argument with my mom and my sister, and I was just kind of at a breaking point, and I was like, and it had just been my 1 month of being sober. And I was like, I looked at like the bottle of vodka that was in my freezer, and I was like, you know, this might be it. And I like ended up going on a walk. I went on like a 4 hour walk where I was just like, I was crying. I was with my dog. I was just like, I don't know where to go from here. And I was literally like messaging like my dealer. And I was like, I don't want to be sober right now. Like, I don't think I physically can endure being sober right now. And like, I mean, like, I smoke so much weed, and like, in order for me to like be high off of weed, like, I have to do like multiple dabs. Like, it's no small amount of weed that will like get me into even just like being comfortable. But I ended up getting some Thai food instead.
I
was so
mean,
cold. It
work.
was so cold that night. I was like, first of all, like I was in shorts and like maybe like a light sweater, and I was like, I can't stay outside like wearing this. Like I'm gonna fucking like freeze, 'cause like. And so like I got Thai food, got pot siu, it was so fucking good. And then like I like the leftovers, I like literally put down my shirt like in the container, because I was like, I'm so cold, and like I need some source of like heat to like feel something. So anyway, ended up coming
Yeah,
home and
hashtag
like
withdrawals.
yeah, by like I think 11:30 I was in bed. And I was like, okay, like that was a journey.
Well,
And
I
like
guess I
I've
have one question about that situation, though, because I feel like my listeners will want me to ask this question. Do you feel like you owe any of those drag artists an apology?
Of course, 100%, absolutely. And like, and I still would. I mean, like to Jay, to Inanna, to Jackson, Austin. I mean, those aren't drag queens, they're patrons and friends
Sure.
of queens, but I mean, there's a laundry list of people that I like say, Jalen, guy. Like I will apologize when and if the time is ever ready, and I don't know if it will be, but like I hope that, I mean like I like the night before all of this happened, like I bought Anana a like a housewarming gift because she just moved, and like I wrote her little card, and like I still have it, like, and like I like if there's ever a point where like she's receptive to me, like, because like I really do want the best for her, and I want like I like mental health is like so important, and like I know what it's like to like, I mean, I know what depression looks like, I know what anxiety looks like, I know what ADHD looks like, I know what like being suicidal and like manic and bipolar, like I have lived those things over and over and over and over and over and over and over in my life, and like I don't wish that upon anyone, and like so like if there's a way that they can come out of, I mean like whatever, if they are experiencing any of those things, or if they're not, like if they're not, great, like I would love to like clear the air, but like if that never happens, then it is not meant to be, and I will. Accept that.
Yeah, no, I understand. I think that that's actually a really beautiful outlook on it, because when it comes to the thing is, when with apologies, right, we can be sorry for something. An apology is usually an exchange that happens with the person and another, and if they're not willing to hear or accept that apology, that is also of course acceptable, because it's their choice to do as such. And a lot of times I feel in this city that people just need the ability to cool down a little bit to get through the incident that made them super frustrated. I've also come to recognize in this city that without the apology, people will get re-mad like months upon months later about a situation that happened in the past. Yeah. So I think wanting to have those dialogues and conversations, I think, shows growth. And, you know, and I think the thing about us working in nightlife, or being bar rats, as I like to call people in downtown, you know, we all, there's like this subgroup of family that's like outside of queerdom, like where it's like we all kind of try to take care of each other. We all hit on each other. We all drink. Some of us do drugs together. Like, it's like this like little cult of really great and amazing weirdos that, you know, but we're all imperfect beings. And sometimes we do stuff that we shouldn't, and we need to be accountable to those actions that happen and keep our community safe as we need to. And then protect our community, especially from the outsiders, those dirty straights. Just joking. But, you know, but then also recognizing in those sub layers of drag, and this is my job, and da 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 da. I like all of that makes sense to me. Because I remember, because Adam, my husband, was a DJ at Stag for a little while as well. And some of the incidents that he would get into would sometimes make me really uncomfortable. And Autumn, my best friend, was. She was a host at SAG for over a year and like got into plenty of situations that were not the best. And, you know, it just, it's just eye opening to me in a lot of different ways about how we really like community accountability is important. And, you know, and what we got to do to get us to that new level is important too. So it's just like my long spiel to say that we all need to be really nice to each other and help each other out.
Yes.
And so switching gears from, you know, obviously talking about trauma. With your newfound ideas about who you want to be, where do you see yourself in like 5 years? Like, where do you see your drag? Where do you see yourself professionally? Where do you see yourself as like a human being? Like, not like a specific plan, but like, what do you hope for yourself? What are your aspirations?
I would love to things have just settled down.
I love how that's the thing. I want things to settle down. I want things to settle down.
I just want to take a 14-hour uninterrupted nap.
Oh God, I love me a good depression nap. That is my favorite thing to do.
Oh my God.
I love a good depression nap.
Ooh, man. Yeah, 5 years from now, I will, oh Christ, I'll be 35 or 34.
Well into the gay death years.
Yeah, right. you know, I would love to live part-time here in Portland, part-time somewhere sunny.
What do you see? Can I ask you this question? What, because a lot of people hit on you, what is your ideal partner? What does your ideal partner look like?
That's a hard question, because I do fall in love very easily. My dog is here with us. That's why there are like little noises coming from my bed. Okay, can we stop that, Leo? Okay. yeah, I fall in love very easily. Like last year when I was in LA, like I met this guy. He was from the UK, but he was teaching at a summer camp in Ohio. And then it was his summer break, so he was in LA and Palm Springs, and so we met like very, very randomly at like the art museum in LA. And I had my dog with me, and I like saw him on Grindr, and like I saw him in person, and I was like, he's cute. And like I messaged him as I was like leaving the art museum. I was like, hey, you're cute, like I'm around, like doing a road trip in my car. So I like end up picking him up, and like we go. I'd gone to a friend's show in LA adjacent somewhere. Maybe Pasadena? No, what's the like the really famous courthouse that was in A Cinderella Story? Was that Pasadena?
I don't know.
Sorry, I'm like asking you this very specific pop culture question. You're like,
I was like,
what
I
the
don't
fuck?
know.
Anyway, so like I met and we and so I went and saw a friend's show there, and then they ended up leaving their computer or something, their backpack at this bar, and so like I was going to pick it up so I could like mail it back for them anyway. So Bolash, his name was Bolash, and he was like, I'm down for the ride, like whatever, like your dog is cute, like we'll hang out. So I like waited for like 45 minutes to like pick up this bag like at the bar, because like it was like weirdly busy on like a, I don't know, Monday. Anyway, so like we end up like, so we finish that, and then he's like, I want to go to this like courthouse because like it's like super famous. And so like we go there, and like it was like cute, we walk around, and then we're hungry, and so he's like, I'll buy you dinner. Let's go to, he literally suggests, let's go to, what is the part of town? Little, not. Anyway, we get like some kind of African food. It was, what was it? Anyway, there's like this road, like this street in like near LA where it's just like, so much good food. So like he picked up like a platter, and we shared it on the fucking beach at like midnight, and like the sky is clear and the moon is so bright, and we have the most incredible sex like under the stars on the beach, and then we go skinny dipping. Anyway, so like long story short, as I talk about everything that happened, I was like, I like fell in love with him that day. Like, I mean, like on like a very surface level, like kind of like love, like where you just like I vibe with you, and like you seem to understand the world in a way that I do, or similarly. And like it's just like those moments where it's like, oh, like you get it. Like, and like we had like, and like we met again. I was like, I'm gonna drive to Palm Springs. And they were like, oh, he was with a couple of friends, and they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna go to Joshua Tree. And I was like, cool, like once you're done with that, like hit me up. I'm gonna get a hotel in Palm Desert. So I got us a like, I was like, I'm getting a king size bed because I'm gonna sleep in a king size bed. You guys can sleep on the pull out sofa. It was like two straight like white people, so I was like, they're fine. Like they were sleeping on the fucking like ground in Joshua Tree. I'm sure they'll be fine on this like Residence Inn pull out cot. And I'm like, yeah,
Oh,
anyway.
I love a residence in.
Yeah, it's so nice. I love like the scrub daddy, or maybe a scrub mommy, like little thing that I stole from there, obviously, and like their little like miniature soaps and like dish soap, and it's just so nice having like a full kitchen and like being able to like exist without struggling.
Love this. Oh,
Yeah.
God.
On the note of like who I. Like, I don't know, as far as like what I'm looking for in a relationship, I
I know you went into a love story when I asked a very simple question about what do you look, what is your ideal love life look like? Like, what do you want? What is the one trait you want most out of a partner?
I think respect. Just having like a mutual respect and because I mean being respectful can mean so many things. It's like I understand that like maybe right now you're not in a place to have sex or like make out or like all this stuff, and like I respect that you are not in that place to do that. Or like if you're coming up to me and I'm like, I'm not in a place to do that, like I hope that you can respect me, or like I'm gonna respect myself enough to say I'm not in that mindset, like I'm not in the mood, like this isn't beneficial to me right now, so I'm gonna take a step back. It's like I think respect is just, it's a level of understanding that is just like humans are so complex that like you can't, like I mean like from one moment to the next, from one minute to the next, from one second to the next, like things can change, and like you have to like constantly like think about like how like where situations will go and how things will happen, and like that's what's constantly going on in my mind is like I anticipate every single outcome that comes from every decision and every word that comes out of my mouth. So when people ask me like, why the fuck did you do that? And I'm like, that was the best outcome out of
That
all
was
of the things that could have
the
happened.
best outcome.
I chose that one.
What's your
Very intentionally.
astrological sign?
I'm an Aries.
Yeah, you are. Okay. That explains this whole last spiel. Okay, so as we get to the end of the podcast, I asked you to prepare for a question. So if you could pick three Portland drag artists to help you win a bar fight, who would they be and why?
Why? Okay. Who would they be? Bar fight. All right. So first I would have to go with Binky Bellflower. I have only met I've only met her once in person. And it was right after I did Cars a few weeks ago. And she was like super warm, super nice, like I mean we're both like of Asian descent. So we connected on that level, but she's just a fucking powerhouse. Like every time I see her posts on Instagram, like her makeup is just fucking like stunning. Like just like I don't know. Binky for sure. Second, I would say probably Shima. Also Asian spectrum.
The Asian spectrum.
I don't know, like I feel like we kind of had like a I mean a weird start to relationship. Like I remember I won't get it too deeply into it, but at SAG there's some incidents that happened around Lucky XOX. And like there's some things that I said to Lucky. I was like, you need to be more professional or something like that, in like a less tactful, cute way. And I remember Shima was super loyal to Lucky, and so like I think we kind of had some bad blood to begin with, but like
Oh
yeah, I know, right? But we've like gotten over that, and like yeah, so Shima's great. Third, let's see. I think, okay, yeah. I was thinking of Bastila Dodd. I don't know. Like every time, like I've bought two wigs from her. Two? Three? Three. Two. And like every time I see her post, I'm like, I can see like the thought and like how much time went into like everything that she does. Like the wigs, like I styled a wig on my own the other day, and I was like, never again, because this is
Oh,
fucking
yeah.
insane. I was like, the amount of hairspray, the amount of like my hands cramping, Like, no, like, that's not it. So anyway, so like every time like I put on that like a green wig that I have from her, or the other wig that I'm still waiting for a pickup, or me to pick up or to drop off or something like that. But yeah, she's powerhouse.
I'm so really excited. We had Binky Bellflower, Bastilla, and Shima B. Fox.
Yes.
Okay. So as we get to the end, tell the kid your socials.
I love socials. So on Instagram, I am Kung Fu Fight Her. It's spelled KHNG, no vowels, 4 letters. And then the rest is FU, and then Fight Her, HER. I'm on like everything else too. I'm like under Paxton and Greg and House of Great, HAUS of GRATE. Everything is spelled weird in my world, apparently. But real quick, the story behind Great. Like, so my name is Greg. My ex-husband's name is Nate. So we put our names together, and that's how we created Great Company. He's no longer in the picture, obviously, but I have kind of readopted Great as a still a part of me type thing. It just doesn't include Nate. Yeah.
Well, that's way too depressing a note to leave it on, so now I have to say something. Please follow Kung Fu Fight Her on all her social medias. Also, I think as she said in the earlier part of this podcast, she is entertaining a bunch of people, but she's currently single AF. So if you want to get in her DMs, because apparently her romantic type is a long romantic story. she also appreciates that. If you want to see what she looks like without clothes on, go visit Silverado, get you some more customers that way. And then of course catch her at, you know, upcoming drag events and things like that and get to know her. And then also if you hate her deeply, I love comments underneath this podcast at agendaofsecretpodcast.com. Yeah. And I will post some pictures of Kung Fu Fight Her in drag, because I only post pictures in drag on the website, and you know, tag the social medias. And so if you wanna get to know them better, please do as such. Yeah. Because I'm a monster. All right, say bye to the kids.
All right, bye everybody. Love you. Have a great day. And be kind to yourself and others, because yeah. Or else we're gonna have another podcast where I have to do this all over again.
That's true.